Hello and welcome to the Pain in the Arsenal podcast. My name is Andrew Dalbo. I'll be here with Josh and Henry discussing all the good and bad about Arsenal Football Club. Let's get started. So to open the first Pain in the Arsenal podcast of the season, we want to take this international break after 11 games. Arsenal currently sitting in sixth position in the Premier League. A bit of an up and down start to the year. So I guess I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on how you think the season's gone so far. Has it lived up to expectations? Is it a bit disappointing? Have we overachieved? I guess that partly depends on what your expectations were at the start of the season. So, Henry, how do you feel that the first 11 games of the Premier League season has gone so far?
If you're talking about living up to expectations, I'm in this really negative frame of mind, whereas I kind of have come to expect this from Arsenal in recent years. Going with this unparalleled optimism that this will be the year that everything changes, and then we go and lose at Stoke and everything seems to be falling apart. But I think it's a year whereby we need to gain some perspective as fans, because I really didn't think that we would be able to compete with the likes of Manchester United and Manchester City because of the squads that they have and the quality within those squads. I think we kind of have to get off our high horse from now on and just say, right, let's go after the Carabao Cup, let's go after the FA Cup, let's go after the Europa League and go again, and we can hopefully contend for those major honours again moving forward.
So, in the summer when Wenger and Gazidis and the like said that this was a squad capable of challenging for the title, did you ever believe that? And if not, why not?
Not really, because they've shown in recent years that they haven't put their money where their mouth is. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've spent $50 million on Lacazette, but the market rate, obviously, you could argue, pushed that narrative. But I thought that there were other pieces that we needed, maybe not necessarily in terms of quality, but in terms of character that we needed that we simply didn't get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Arsenal squad for the most part, it's a very good squad. But as we've said for a few years, something is lacking. Whether it's tactics, I'm not sure. Whether it's character, I'm not sure. Or maybe it is quality, but there's something missing, and I don't think a striker and a left-back was all that we needed in order to really challenge this year.
No, let me put the question the other way. What percentage would you have given Arsenal to win the league with the additions or lack of additions that they made?
At the beginning of the season. At the beginning
of the season. Not knowing the blistering form that Man City were to start.
I mean, you looked at the beginning of the season. Tottenham had a better squad than us. Mm-hmm. Chelsea had a better squad than us. Mm-hmm. United had a better squad than us. And Manchester City had a better squad than us. I mean, the signings that Manchester City made this summer, besides Kyle Walker and Mendy, obviously, they walked into the team, but there were no attacking signings really on their part that have made a palpable impact. I mean, they've still got the same attacking talent that they've had as they had last year.
Yeah.
I'd say about 5-10% max. I really didn't see it. I thought top four was really the only attainable goal that we should have set to begin this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree. What about you, Josh?
I guess I'm just a painful optimist. Part of the season, I really believe, and I would say, to get right to the number, I would say maybe I gave them a 30% chance. Mm-hmm. Just because all the other teams did improve, but they improved in the same way as they've been improving, and they never really got that much better. Whereas I feel like Arsenal improved in the areas that we desperately needed, and yeah, they left a lot of stuff unanswered, but the areas they did improve, I thought were big enough to push it over the top, mm-hmm. to the point where they actually could compete.
Who would you have given a better chance of winning the league then? than Arsenal?
Manchester City, just because that attack is scary.
Mm-hmm.
I still have nightmares about that game, watching them.
Yes. Spurs?
I freaking hate them. So maybe that comes into my decision. I've never been that terribly scared by them, just because, especially because they can't win at home, at their temporary home.
Yeah.
Which to me shows a lack of mental strength or something. I mean, there's something there. And I don't know. I think I would have given them less of a chance than Arsenal, mm-hmm. because I don't think they improved all that much. I mean, their defense got better. I think the back three that they're not running is impressive, and their fullbacks are stacked, but I wasn't that impressed with what they did.
Yep. I mean, it says a lot that even though we've theoretically, the sky is falling with everything regarding Arsenal, but mm-hmm. It's not much, but we've won three trophies in the last 5 years, really. And despite all of their successes, they haven't really come close in the grand scheme of things.
And they weren't easy trophies either. People talk about the FA Cup like it's nothing, but we had to go through Chelsea and United and City and all these teams that wanted it just as much, and we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one blemish that I would have for Tottenham under Pochettino. I mean, he's got them playing far better than I think any other manager would. I think he's getting a lot more out of his players than anybody else would. That's the final blemish on his resume at Tottenham. If he wins something, all credit to him.
Mm.
But that's the one thing that they have to do. And if they don't do it this season, that's an opportunity missed for them, because I think you'll have bigger clubs a la Real Madrid come calling for the likes of Dele Alli, Harry Kane next summer. So I really think that this window that Spurs have right now, they really need to take advantage of it.
Yep. I agree. And we will get on to the North London derby later into the show, which obviously kicks off on Saturday, the first one of the year. Not a game that Arsenal have had particular success in recent years. But hopefully a chance to gain back some pride and haul their way back from a 4-point deficit at the moment in the league table. As we begin to discuss a few of the questions and the topics that we have on our minds, I guess the first question to ask or to attempt to answer, in the short term, the next run-up to Christmas, the first 11 games of the Premier League season were played over 87 days. The next 11 are played over 47 days. So there's a big, big, big fixture list coming up in the next 5 or 6 weeks. What do you think Arsenal need to do to get back on track in that next period? And as we enter the Christmas time, and then heading through to January and February time, as we look towards the back end of the year, what changes need to be made? What does Wenger need to do? What do certain players need to amend? We'll start with you, Josh.
I mean, it's sad that I have to say this, but I see so many times where Arsene Wenger just overthinks himself, and he tries to be so clever with his starting 11, and you just don't have to do that. I mean, we saw when we finally put Ozil, Alexis, and Lacazette together, they did fantastic. The two games were against Everton, Swansea, which granted it's not the cream of the crop, but it still showed that they flowed together. And then to see him completely abandon that against City was just infuriating. I mean, I've heard the logic being that he didn't trust Ozil and Alexis's defensive capabilities, but it just didn't make sense to me in a game that was going to need us to match their attack. So, yeah, it's just play your best players. It's your best position. And again, you shouldn't have to say that, but we do, because he's not doing it. And if they're not playing at their best, then they're not your best player anymore, and get someone else in there.
Mm-hmm. Would you have liked to have seen him drop Ozil before he drops Lacazette?
Absolutely. I prefer him to drop anybody, Ozil or Alexis before Lacazette, because Lacazette he's our leading scorer. He's the only guy that we have in front of goal right now that I'm very confident in will score in front of the goalie, because I've seen Ozil and Alexis both fluff their lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like of those front three, Lacazette's the most important right now, and he's the one that continues to get pushed aside for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important piece. He's our long-term piece as well.
Yeah.
I mean, from my perspective, until Christmas, I think I opened the show by saying that we need to have some perspective. I think until Christmas, in the Premier League at least, we need to keep up with the pack. We need to give ourselves as much or as many opportunities as we can to get back into the Champions League, which at the end of the day, I do think is an attainable goal for mm-hmm. us this season. As I said before, let's compete in the Carabao Cup, let's compete in the FA Cup, let's compete in the Europa League. Europa League being the most important. But God forbid if something goes wrong in Europa League and we have a meltdown like we did against Monaco in the Champions League a few years ago, that we at least have the Premier League to say, okay, we still are in with a fighting chance with this to get top four. Let's go and do it.
Yep.
So that would be my goal up until January at least. Stay with the pack in the Premier League.
Yep. And are there any tactical changes that you'd like to see? Any aspects of the team, maybe any personnel changes that you'd like to see?
I mean, a lot of it for me revolves around Granit Xhaka, because mm-hmm. it's infuriating for me because we know how good he can be, but I can't put my finger on it. Is it tactics? Is it people coming around to what kind of player he is? Or is it just him just being in a bad run of form? I can't put my finger on it. I think it would really benefit him to have someone else alongside him in midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I did recently was I went back and I watched some games of his when he was at Borussia Mönchengladbach. And you can just tell he's playing in a much more advanced role. And that's where he seems more comfortable. And if we're not going to play someone else in midfield, my argument would be, as controversial as this may be, I'm a huge, huge fan of Callum Chambers. And I think if we're going to employ a three at the back, and we're such, by nature, we're an attacking side. Wenger's renowned for not paying much attention to opposition strengths. If we're going to be as gung-ho as we are, why not put Callum Chambers in and let him be the catalyst for our attack? Take some pressure off Xhaka, because at the moment we're putting so much pressure on Xhaka to be our playmaker. And maybe it's just time for us to say, okay, we're aware of the fact that you're struggling a bit right now. Let's take some of this attacking burden off of you by bringing in a ball-playing centre-back who, again, is another long-term piece for us, which at the centre-back position we are running out of.
Mm.
I'd agree with that. You know, the thing with Xhaka, like you said, is we not hold exactly what he can do. And I compared this to Ramsey recently. When Ramsey was in a similar situation where we couldn't get the best out of him, so we switched to this three at the back and kind of put him in a situation like he had with the Welsh team. And just like that, Ramsey was back to his best. And, you know, I don't think it's as easy of a fix for Xhaka, getting him to where he's comfortable to be his best. But like you said, having a center back there behind him, like Callum Chambers, who has experience in the midfield, can spare him from having to always look over his shoulder and just focus on one thing, which is, I think, what he needs the most right now.
I mean, it's a case of, with Callum Chambers, you would have two experienced heads flanking him in Nacho Monreal, who's quietly had, once again, a brilliant season. I'm not sure if he deserves the player of the month last month, but that was laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Chalmers on the other side. I think that's a nice environment to bring along Chambers, and with Chalmers obviously having those injury problems. You could put Mustafi in there. I think we do need eventually another left-hand centre, but that's another issue entirely. But I think if you want to take pressure off Xhaka, which is what I believe is the most important thing for us moving forward right now, because Coquelin and Elneny, they're nice players, but they don't have the quality that Xhaka does. Xhaka mm-hmm. is a superior player to the pair of them, and I think it speaks volumes that despite his poor form, neither has been able to unseat Xhaka in midfield.
Do you think you can protect Xhaka by switching to a four at the back. And
playing what kind of player alongside
him? And playing three central midfielders. Maybe you could play Elneny, Ramsey, Xhaka, or Wilshere, Ramsey, Xhaka, or Coquelin, Ramsey, Xhaka, midfield three.
I don't think Ramsey, Wilshere, Xhaka midfield would work, because I still think you leave Xhaka in a similar position as regards to you have Ramsey and Wilshere, who naturally tend to be better in the final third. Xhaka's shown an ability in years past to take the ball out of tight situations, much like Sam Cazorla did against Manchester City a couple of years back in that wonderful game that he played. But I don't think moving forward you need to manage Jack. I don't think a game where you play in central midfield, where you're asking him to be a box-to-box midfielder, much like what Ramsey's currently doing, I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think it helps Jack.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think that the team with Xhaka is putting someone behind him, not just someone next to him that's going to do the same thing as Ramsey does, but getting somebody that can protect the defensive side of things. Because then Xhaka can, you know, like the strength of being able to be calm over the ball and you know, he's a great passer when he gets his time over the ball, but he doesn't always have that, and providing him with cover behind. And to answer the question, I think a fourth at back would help. It just depends on who that third midfielder is. And I don't think anyone we have could do that. I mean, Coquelin's the closest, but he just doesn't have the quality that I'd want.
So I agree.
So would you like a new third midfielder then?
Yeah.
And what? So you're looking for a defensive-minded midfielder who has more quality than Coquelin on the ball? That's the type of player you're after.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've messed with this idea of having like a central defender that also midfielder, and we've got Callum Chambers and Christian Bieler coming up. Both of them have done that, and I kind of want a player like that. I looked at Chris Kaliak over at West Brom. I think he's a great candidate for that because he's played center back and midfield, and he's doing some really experience now, and it hasn't been perfect.
But yep. And you could say the same about Alex Song. He was a centre half when he first came through the Arsenal ranks, and then Wenger pushed him into midfield. A similar type progression. If you feel that Callum Chambers has a role, then are there any other players? Let's go for a similar kind of age, the 22, 23 and under, that could have a Premier League role, because there's obviously a clear division in the squad at this point between the Premier League team and the Europa League / Carabao Cup, and what I presume will be the FA Cup team once January rolls around. So do you feel that there are any other younger players, maybe a Rob Holding, maybe a Rhys Nelson, we can throw Wilshere in there if you want, a Iwobi, an Eddie Nketiah maybe. Are there any others who could, say like a Iwobi did a couple of years ago towards the back end of the season, begin to impress himself on the Premier League first team? We'll go to you, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, short answer is no, I don't. But I think if anybody of our Europe would, I mean, obviously Jack Wilshere, I think, can fit in there. But in terms of younger players, I think the only player who I've seen that I thought I really want him with our team is Nketiah, just because he knows how to finish. And sometimes that's just all you really need, if he showed against Norwich. And again, I mean, the problem with that is Giroud already can't get in there. So I don't see how Nketiah would come up to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe if Wenger finally goes to a two-striker set, which I've been begging him to do, I don't think that's going to happen, though. So, you know, I think Rhys Nelson's a great attacker, but I don't think he's ready yet. And, yeah, I don't think Holding's ready. I don't think Iwobi is. yeah, not that many prospects.
As far fetched as it sounds, the only one that I can really see having a possible impact is Ainsley Maitland-Niles, for the exact reason that we just discussed. You want someone to partner Xhaka in a three-man midfield?
Yeah.
I mean, Wenger's been raving about Maitland-Niles recently, but once again, I just get the impression that that's just talk. To kind of say, yes, we've got an up-and-coming player as well, much like Brewster, Liverpool. But if he's that close to competing for 15 minutes, let's see what he's got. There's no point in him playing under-23 games and Europa League games if we don't see him as a long-term...
Yeah, and Europa League games out of position as well, which is perhaps the most infuriating aspect of it all, isn't it?
Yeah, if you look at the game, against Southampton last year, and he partnered up to Chamberlain in midfield, he was fantastic. I mean, I don't think he moved from the centre of the field, really, but he was what you wanted, just move around. He showed the athleticism that Coquelin was renowned for when he first broke his team. And he had, I haven't seen enough of him really to say that he's superior technically, but I would assume so.
Yes, I would assume most people are superior technically to good old Francis Coquelin.
I love him, though. I love his passion. I don't think his passion can be
No. So let's segue a little bit. We'll talk about the upcoming winter window. Arsene Wenger's favourite.
Kim Kastrom.
Yeah. Let's start with the big two, Özil and Alexis. What would you do with them? And reports of 30 million, their valuation for each player. Is that enough? Would, if you got 30 million for Özil, would you sell him? And if not, how much would it take for you to sell the pair?
In my opinion, I think Arsenal have made their bed and now they've got to sleep in it. It's a case of, I would much prefer us to win. There are a lot of hypotheticals in this scenario, but I would much prefer us to win the Europa League and for them to leave rather than us take 30 million for both and just not get in the top four and not win the Europa League. Because the money associated, obviously, with the Champions League would be fantastic, and it, you could argue, is like not, I'm entirely sure the financials associated with that, but you could argue it would go a long way to helping with their loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to give a figure to how much I would sell both players for, because I wouldn't sell them at this point.
Yeah, and I think qualification for the Champions League also helps in attracting players. Obviously, Lacazette said that he wouldn't move to a club that didn't have Champions League football, and he did. But the principle and the value and the significance that is placed on Champions League football still remains throughout Europe. And many, many players will say no to clubs because there is no Champions League football. So perhaps if Arsenal say, well, we might lose, you know, let's say £60 million or whatever the figure may be. If we can have Özil and Alexis for another 6 months and they are able to get us into the Champions League, that will able us to better replace them with a Nabil Fekir, a Julian Draxler, whatever name you want to throw in there. They're going to be wanting Champions League football, and I find it very difficult to see how this team, without Özil and Alexis, can get Champions League football for next year. Not without significant investment in the winter window, which, as Wenger has made very clear, is most definitely not going to come. What do you think, Josh? Would you be willing to sell Özil and Alexis? And if you were, what would it take?
I'm going to take the complete opposite stance that Henry did and say I would sell them as soon as you can, just because for the first part of the season, I can't convince them that they're going to be our answer to the Champions League. They've both had their moments, but I almost think that they've been less than what we could do with a Wilfred Zaha, who obviously he's not the player Alexis is, but, you know, he's young, he's going to be available, and he's proven that he, at the very least, is a tough competitor that knows how to score, knows how to attack, and he's creative enough that I think, you know, you put a hungry Zaha next to a practice age for Alexis, and I don't think the difference is as big as people are afraid of. And as far as Ozil, I mean, I still have yet to hear of a team that is interested in him. What if he's rumored? You just never know with them. But if somebody's willing to pay $30 million to take Ozil, whatever, he could sign a free contract, then absolutely take it. Because I don't see why Ramsey or Rozier can't do the job that Ozil's doing, and maybe even do better than it. Of course, that opens the problem of who then fills in the midfield. But, you know, I just think Wenger said losing Alexis is pretty hard because it's going to take 60, 70 million to replace him. So if you're not getting 60, 70 million in return, and we've shown that we're not the kind of club that's just going to spend and spend and spend without getting something back, I think you got to try to get what you can from them and believe in the guys you have. Because I just don't see how Alexis and Ozil are our key to Champions League qualification.
I think it'll be really difficult for us to replace them this summer, or this winter rather, simply because it's a World Cup year. I don't think Zaha's likely to come because Palace are going to be in a relegation battle, it seems. And I don't think you're going to be able to attract the tier. Draxler, simply because they'll all be fighting for places on planes for a World Cup. And a relocation, whilst for some players it makes sense for players of that calibre, and with the pressure that would be on them when they arrive, I don't see it. And as Andrew said, Ben is hardly renowned for really going up in the January window.
Well, it certainly will be interesting to see what he does. We've never really been here before. While Arsenal have, they've had many players run down their contracts, I don't think they've ever been as significant as Ozil and Sanchez to the current regime. Perhaps the most recent one would be Van Persie, and obviously he was sold with a year to go. So it's a novel situation for Wenger, for the club, for obviously the two players. So it will be extremely interesting to see how he decides to handle it between now and January and potentially the end of the season. One final note on January window. If Wenger was to sign somebody, and he has signed players for the kind of 10 million mark before, he signed Nacho Monreal, signed Gabriel Pellista, signed Mohamed Elneny in recent seasons. What positions do you think need improving? Or what positions could maybe wait until the summer that are maybe more long-term issues? We'll get to you, Josh, first.
I don't see any major, like Kim said, I don't see any major solutions coming in January. Mm-hmm. I think the best you can do in January is kind of like what you did with Elneny, where you buy a guy that can kind of sort of fill in at a big-time need, and then in the summer you really address it, which you did with Xhaka. And my best idea for that is Zaha, and you get him now and give him, you know, 4 or 5 months later in the season, and then you really address it this summer. Because I don't think, I mean, the midfield needs improvement, but I don't see, we've already got tons of names like Elneny and Tocqueville who are that kind of quality that I think we'd find in January. I don't think it's worth it to just grab someone just to have them in the midfield.
I agree. I think goalkeeper is a long-term issue which should be left until the summer because Cech, whilst he's not of the standard that he was at Chelsea all those years ago, he is more than adequate to last us at least for this season.
Okay, well let's delve a bit deeper into that while you bring it up. What are the long-term issues that you foresee?
I think we also need another left-sided centre-back. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that Kolasinac, if that's even how you pronounce his name, I'm not sure, can fit in at centre-back. Nacho Monreal and Kolasinac are, as far as I'm aware, the only natural left-footers that we have in the defence. I think we need another left-sided central defender, including Malang Sarr over the summer, and I think that would be a wise purchase next summer. to solidify that move forward, and then we'd have what, Sarr, Holding, Chambers, Staffy is four central defenders that we can build on. Very appealing. I think we need to look at depth at both wing back positions, because Maitland Niles and Reece Nelson are not long term solutions at those positions. We've obviously discussed Ozil and Alexis already and how they'll probably need to be replaced, and how another central midfielder will likely need to come in. And if Olivier Giroud leaves, are you happy with Welbeck and Nketiah being there? Maybe we'll go for one more striker? I don't know, but I don't... Those would be positions that I would go for.
Yeah.
Striker being the exception, because I think Giroud has proven, and I love him for doing so, that he loves the club. And even though he's not going to play as many minutes, he's aware of the fact that he's not going to be competing for a trophy that Everton... I mean, Arsenal can't compete for a major honours, as I said earlier, but we're going to be competing on multiple fronts this season.
Yeah, in terms of Trek, would you like to see someone come in this summer, or do you think it can be left a couple of years? How long do you think he's got as being a good, if not great, goalkeeper?
Oh, I would address the issue personally next summer. I would personally at this point let Ospina and Emiliano Martinez go, because Ospina's made it adamantly clear that he wants to play regular football, and if he can't see by now that he's not going to play regular football, then he's not going to get it. Martinez, I wrote in the summer how I thought his loan move was perfect for all parties, because I was on the assumption that he was going to start. Wenger's had high praise for him in the past when he signed his deal. But if I'm correct, I believe he's only started one cup game in Spain. Which isn't good enough. You could argue maybe you give him one more year, but I think he's 25, 26. And yes, goalkeepers have a longer shelf life than most players, but he really of the standard is not playing at Getafe, who were recently promoted last season to La Liga, I'm not sure. Maybe we see what we have with Matt Macy in the FA Cup from Europa League, the Carabao Cup. But I think if you came to next season, he said our three goalkeepers are Jack Butland, Petr Cup goalkeeper, and Matt Macy is someone that you can see possibly taking over that backup role from Czech in 2-3 years, I'd say I'd bite your hand off if that's not it.
Would you take a younger goalkeeper, let's say like a David De Gea when he first arrived at Manchester United, that kind of player, and keep Trek as your number one for another year, and then make the switch a little bit more gradual, a bit like Chelsea did with Thibaut Courtois and Petr Cech, obviously send him in on a number of loans to Atletico Madrid?
Or
do you feel that the issue needs to be addressed a bit more urgently?
It's not an issue per se. I just personally make the switch simply because I'm a big believer in a long-term project. Cech's been fantastic in the Premier League for years and years. And it's hardly as if he won't play many games next season. Arsenal tend to go on long runs in the FA Cup. The FA Cup as well, so he wouldn't be short of games. I think if you bring in someone like Jeff Butland, however, he's already shown he's capable of playing in the Premier League, he's up to the physical demands, that would be my mantra. I think Jeff would be willing to develop a new goalkeeper as well as Matt Macy. And as I said, it's not a pressing issue, but that's how I would attack it personally.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Czech is as pertinent an issue as others, but I do think that if you keep putting it off, it's going to get really pertinent really quick. And I mean, I like the idea of this summer trying to find a young keeper who's capable of challenging Czech, because then you've got a veteran and an up-and-comer, both really quality. And, you know, whoever wins out, you're getting the best of the situation. And we've been linked to people in the past. Like, my favorite is Alvin Lafon. Granted, he plays in France, but he's still one of those keepers that I think is just waiting for that next big step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Arsenal can be that step because, you know, Ospina's obviously gone. I'm still upset that Chesney left. I don't know why we didn't count it out of it. And, you know, Emi Martinez looks great, but you can't really afford a step back at his stage, and he's kind of having that this year. And, yeah, Macy's great, but you don't want to put all your eggs in that basket because he's still young. You don't know what he's going to become. So I think you go this summer and you get somebody like Lafon and you really challenge him. Because you can't just because he's a veteran doesn't mean he's still the best back in the draft.
Yeah, I guess Chesney is the elephant in the room, really. And he is the perfect signpost of Wenger's difficulties with goalkeepers, or at least in evaluating goalkeepers. He is, ever since the phasing out of Jens Lehmann from the first team as he began to age, Arsenal have not had a reliable goalkeeper in over a decade now. So would you trust Wenger to go and find the right goalkeeper to replace Cech, whether it be in the summer coming or whether it be in 18 months' time or even 2 years' time? Would you ever trust Wenger to be able to highlight the right keeper and go and get him?
I trust him. There's been a lot of debate regarding goalkeeper coach. I can't remember his name. I believe it's Jerry Pinson, who there's been a lot of debate about this. I'm not sure whether that's his name. There's a lot of things that about him and his abilities. I have complete faith in Wenger when it comes to signings, because for the most part...
Yes, it is Jerry Pinson. You're right.
I do have faith in him with regards to signing players and signing the right one. I think the Chesney issue, as you said, was handled so poorly because with young goalkeepers, you are going to have struggles like that. Granted, his struggles were not only related on the pitch, they were off the pitch as well. They were in the dressing room for the most part. But, I mean, you look at Manchester United, David De Gea had those struggles when he first arrived and there were questions about him, I think. And Chesney weathered the storm. And last summer, I would not have been opposed to the idea of, okay, we now have Chesney. Let's do the same thing. Let's play Chesney, have Cech as our reserve goalkeeper, and then Ospina on his way. That's how I thought we should have attacked it, because I thought we needed a new energy. We needed a maverick, in my opinion, like Chesney, someone who was going to put a cap amongst the pigeons and really shake things up in the dressing room and from a character perspective.
Yeah.
And he obviously didn't get the assurances he wanted because his contract was running down, and he decided to go and back up Joan Luigi Buffon, and that's a pretty good gig for him. He's now going to be taking over at Juventus, where I have no doubt, and it pains me to say it, that he will be their goalkeeper for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Which is painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it seems a little bit inevitable, doesn't it, that he quickly becomes Juventus' number one and flourishes there. Let's move on from the goalkeeping situation and let's look at I guess firstly, do you think under Wenger or under Kroenke or under both, Arsenal can ever win the league title? We'll start with you, Josh.
Oh, that's a big question. Maybe I'm still being a painful optimist, but I do. I say I do, and I think that if Arsene Wenger can learn to just trust himself and the right players, and that's asking a lot from the manager who's been doing this for some of the years and has proven that he's I do think that Wenger knows what he needs, and he knows the kinds of players that he needs. It's just something's lacking, and I don't think, obviously I want Kroenke out, but I don't think Kroenke has an immediate impact on the players. And you know what, I'm going to change my answer. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Predictability about what is about to happen this year, isn't there? I'll give a slightly different opinion. I think Arsene Wenger can still win the league. Whether he will win the league again is a very, very different question. I don't, however, think Arsenal can win the league under Kroenke. And I'll give you one reason why. Quite frankly, money wins. Leicester City is a little bit of an anomaly, but you look throughout world football, the biggest spenders usually win the league. And if they don't win the league, they'll finish in second or third. And whoever wins the league will be the second or third biggest spender. People may argue it, but unfortunately, money does buy success. So these are the number of players in the history of the club that the top six at the moment have bought for more than £20 million. Arsenal have done it five times. Lacazette last summer, Jacques Mustafi the summer before, Sanchez 2 years before that, and then Ozil the year before that, and that's it. So they were all over £30 million, and they haven't signed a player between £20 and £30 million in the history of the club, which is quite remarkable and rather damning.
How much did our
shopping
cost? Wasn't it about 17?
It was about 17, yeah. We've had a few in the 15 to 18 million range. So Spurs of the top six are the next least with seven. Then comes Liverpool with 14. So that's nearly triple Arsenal. Then comes Manchester United with 22. Chelsea with 25. So five times as many players as Arsenal for over 20 million. And then City with 28.
I was unaware of that, and that's really
eye-opening.
You said earlier, you can identify quality players. I mean, you look back, we qualified for the Champions League with a strike partnership of Marouane Chamakh and Nicholas Benson, Wilson and Song in midfield. I mean, you can argue to that regard that then you get the best out of those players. But you put it like that, and I'm not having second thoughts, because I still think his efficiencies are weigh far too heavily. But I think you do have to respect him for what he has done and what he continues to do.
Yes. And I think as long as City keep spending the money that they spend, which doesn't look as though it's going to slow down at any point. In fact, they spent basically £200 million this last summer, most of which was on fullbacks. But the fact that they spend £200 million a year, Arsenal are never going to ever going to compete with that. I can't see a way that Arsenal win the league until they start spending the type of money that Kroenke and probably Wenger have shown an inability and unwillingness to ever invest. What do you think, Josh?
No, yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I always think back, and I cite this quote so many times, where Arsene Wenger said something along the lines of, the price doesn't matter if the player's right, we'll get them. And I think I've yet to see that actually come true. I mean, even with Watson said, we should have had him 2 years earlier. I don't know why we didn't. And they kept saying it came down to price, and you ended up spending $50 million anyway, which would have got him 2 years earlier. And you avoid 2 years of wondering where our striker situation is going. And yeah, I mean, that number is staggering. It was going down 5 times compared to near 30 for City. And yeah, it makes you think that even this next summer, we'll get maybe one, possibly two at best, big-time solutions. And that's kind of a scary future to look forward to, because I don't see how lose Alexis and Ozil and how you replace them with just two big signings with all the other things you should have done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, just to pile on the pain, of the top 20 record signings in the Premier League, Arsenal have just 3 of them, Lacazette, Ozil and Xhaka. Lacazette is the highest of those, obviously, at 12th. Manchester City have 7 in the top 20. They've actually bought 4 players for more than Lacazette cost. I mean, in today's world, I can't see how you can win a title without regularly spending £50 to £70 million on top quality, top tier players, and Arsenal have never done that. They've never looked close to ever doing that, other than a rogue bid for Mbappe and Thomas Lamar.
I don't know whether those are true, because the Mbappe bet.
Well, exactly. Yeah, there's significant doubt over the validity of those reports.
I was almost against it when I heard we bid $92 million for Lamar. I thought, okay, great, but the value for money is not there.
No.
So on one individual, I mean, when you looked at it, I mean, we were getting $60 million for Sanchez and paying $92 million for Lamar. So in theory, it was only $30 million that we were spending, which isn't a bad deal.
No.
But then to go from 50 straight to 90, I mean, bad thing, but I don't think it was the right player for us to do that with. I mean, I don't think there really is a player that we could argue that you should do that with.
So, if we assume that Arsenal, as Josh said, let's say they sign 2 significant players next summer, which even that is probably a little bit ambitious, what positions do you think they should be in? And then off the back of that, what would be the first step to getting back on track on a more broader scale? So it could be as simple as sacking Arsene Wenger, if you are that way inclined. It could be a little bit less dramatic. But we'll start with you, Josh. What positions, if you got 1 or 2 positions that you could see being addressed next summer, what would they be?
I think once you fix the midfield, a lot of the problems fix themselves. Just because, you know, like I said, with that attack, as much as that up front and 2 competent creators behind him, it's defective.
Yeah.
Defense is healthy, it's effective. The problem with the defense is when the midfield can't protect them. The problem with the attack is when the midfield can't get the ball to them. So I think, you know, Ramsey is fantastic. I think I've been trying to think of so many ways to keep Xhaka and Ramsey in the same formation, and I just can't come up with that many ideas. And I think that's the first thing you got to do is address that midfield. And I think there are a lot of options out there. I mean, Leon Goretzka, I really believe that he's coming to Arsenal. And I think that he would solve so many problems. You know, he's leaving, we know that, and he's got to go somewhere, and I don't see a team that can give him what Arsenal can potentially give him. So that's my first step. Other than that, I think he just needs somebody like Fekir, who I still think is the closest thing we're going to find to an Alexis type that can score and create and has that effort. And the benefit of that, obviously, is Grace is free. So,
yes.
Typical Conky will say something like, well, that was our big signing. But, you know, thinking that he will make two signings that actually cost money, I think Fekir and then either Draxler or Lamar. And then, you know, you've got Lacazette with Fekir and then Draxler and Lamar behind him and a midfield. That if it's Goretzka and Ramsey or Goretzka and Xhaka, I think is much more, ideally, much more competent than what we have now.
What about you, Henry?
I can't really add anything else to what Josh just said. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to watch Goretzka as often as Josh has, with his little fetish with Henry. And Goretzka, but I personally feel, and I agree wholeheartedly, the spine of the team, and by the spine, I mean not just central defenders now, but if we get the midfield right, which you can't say we haven't tried to do, with the money that we spent on Xhaka and the intent that we showed in signing Xhaka. It was a nice idea. Part of last season it did work. Now it's not working. He's a competent player. Let's try an accommodation because we know how good he can be. He's our quarterback, as I've said numerous times. Let's try and get the right people around him so that he can thrive in this system. And obviously, we're all in agreement, I assume, that Ozil and Lex are going to leave, so pick your poison of any of Lamar, Draxler,
yeah.
I don't know if there's going around as well, which I'm not too sure about, but just let's see. Let's see what happens. It'll be really interesting because we can see the issue. It's the case now of can Wenger see the issue, or whoever's in charge, can they see that issue?
Yes, we've seen the issue for a decade. And it still hasn't been addressed. Would you like to replace Xhaka, or would you rather compliment him?
Compliment him. Every single day of the week. Yes, he's infuriating at times. His athleticism lets him down. Sometimes he's not quick enough to set out situations, impact situations. But he's not Santi Cazorla. We signed him to be a Xabi Alonso kind of player. That's a big comparison with someone of that ilk. But let's not beat around the bush. Yes, you might have seen the highlight videos, but this was the kind of player we signed. Someone who could pick up the ball, play it from left to right, long, sweeping passes. Not someone who can take the ball in tight situations and skate and drive through to the second third. I think you have a couple of guys like that. I mean, Ramsey's obviously someone who follows up in attacking, finds himself in goal-scoring situations, but you have Jack Wilshere who can do that. I wouldn't necessarily start Jack Wilshere. I think he can kind of complement Ramsey and Wilshere in the same position.
Yeah.
But if you need someone else to take, you either take the defensive responsibility away from Xhaka and let him kind of be more of a free roaming playmaker, if you will, in the midfield, or you go to Callum Chambers, as I said earlier, and you go, right, you be playmaker 2.0. You play the long sweeping passes to collapse in that shoes tanking down this left hand side, or to Bellerin just flying down this hand to the right hand side. That's how I think we've got to attack the Xhaka situation. I don't think it's will be beneficial for us to take undoubtedly our best deep flying midfielder and just take him away at this point.
Do you agree, Josh?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Xhaka gets replaced ever, or obviously sometimes, but you know, the best solution I can think of is, you know, all of this involves a three-man midfield, but, you know, you could push, again, I'm going to assume that Goretzka is coming to Arsenal, push him up to be an attacking midfielder, and then you stick Xhaka with the other one, and then a defensive midfielder, and I guess to identify the ideal defensive midfielder that can do this, because I do think it's a big responsibility to look for somebody that really doesn't have much to do with the attack, and is merely there to allow Xhaka and either Ramsey or Drake or Wilshere to push forward. But yeah, don't replace Xhaka.
I'm sorry that I cut you off there, but I've had plenty of suggestions from people on Twitter. The name Dennis Zakaria, Fredo Xhaka's Swiss teammate, was given to me last night, so he is my film study for the next couple of days. He looks like a man kid. He's about 6'3", 6'4". He looks like a monster. On paper, he's perfect, but as we know, a lot of players are perfect on paper and have been linked. But
yes.
Players, because it's such an important position. I mean, Fernandinho is quietly having an unbelievable extra season, but no one gives him the time of day because De Bruyne is playing lights out, as is Sane, as is Sterling. It's such an important position. If we get it right, we stand a really good chance of kicking on in our progress towards going after major honours once again.
Yes.
To throw another name out there, a defensive midfield candidate, and I'm going to say this name horribly, but he's Lazio, Jorge Milinkovic-Savic. I've watched him a bit, and he's got that, he's huge, and I think he's got that, the athleticism that we want out of Xhaka, and the defensive ability to be that complement as well.
And I think the presence thing you mentioned, it's not the be-all and end-all, but I think it's another thing that we sometimes miss as well. We're not the shortest team, but we're not the biggest team. But I think sometimes I don't want to go. What I'm really worried about against Tottenham is I don't fancy Granit Xhaka and Aaron Ramsey going up against Wanyama, Dembele, Eric Dyer, Moussa Sissoko, he plays in the field. They don't match up physically, and that is such an important area of the field. Sometimes we need to acknowledge the fact, okay, we are not as good as you. We're going to make it a really ugly game. And sometimes, I mean, you go back to the George Graham era, that's what we did for the most part. We made it an ugly game and 1-0 for the Arsenal became what it is. I think we shouldn't necessarily go back to that, but maybe employing some elements of that wouldn't be the worst idea.
Yeah, I think as a bearer of bad news, the two perfect players in two successive windows went to Premier League rivals in Kante to Chelsea and Matic to United. They're the exact type of players that you are looking to complement a Xhaka or a Cazorla or a Ramsey, whoever you want to throw in there. So they are out there. We just haven't had one in, well, since a fleeting Francis Coquelin period, and then before that you'd probably have to go back to Gilberto Silva. But they do exist, and hopefully Wenger can overcome his blind spot and find one. As we draw to a close, representative of the States over there. As we draw to a close, let's move on to the North London Derby on Saturday. So Arsenal currently lie 4 points behind Spurs. It will be at the Emirates, thankfully, because they have been having a torrid time at White Hart Lane and what would be Wembley this year. It kicks off at 12:30. Are we confident? I can answer that. No.
Amen.
If Arsenal win, How have they done it? We'll go to you, Josh.
See, I'm going to think that I am confident.
The eternal optimist.
Yes. But, you know, my logic is just, sometimes Arsenal's the best after they let us down the most. And you know, there's some times where they keep letting us down, and then eventually they're the best, so eventually we have to get back. if they're ever, ever going to step up and learn from their mistakes, then it's going to be at home against Tottenham. And, you know, I don't think that Wenger outthinks himself, because he saw how poorly that worked against City. I just hope that he's not still blaming the rest against City. I hope that he's accepted that he made some mistakes, too. But, you know, I see Tottenham scoring early and kind of crushing everyone, but then I can see that Arsenal flying back, and I think it's 2-1 win. With, you know, I hope Drew's healthy, because I want him to come and save the day again.
I let Leicester score the winner against Leicester. We should have seen the downfall coming. Even then,
How do you think Arsenal? If they do win, how do you think they are able to do that on Saturday?
For me, it's a real head versus heart moment. My heart desperately wants us to really put them to the sword. I mean, Arsenal put a video up on social media today. I believe it was a 5-3 or 6-3 victory that we had at White Hart Lane back in 2004.
Yeah.
Like that, where we just really show them who's boss. But I'm going to say this quietly. The best thing that I can hope for is an Arsenal fan is a draw, which, in fairness, we have achieved a lot against them in recent years. I mean, the last time I think we beat them was in the Carling Cup with the Matcha Family goal, I may be mistaken. But otherwise, we haven't beaten them in a long time, but we've shown adequate fight against them. I believe we were 2-1 down a couple of years ago when Coquelin got sent off, and then we got an equalising goal. I think we will have, I hope, we have the fight for this game, because it's a big game to keep in touch with that top four. But the best that I can hope for right now is that we get a draw, because I think that they will come out all guns blazing. Excuse the pun.
Yeah. I think I actually feel that we had a better chance of beating City last weekend than Spurs this weekend, just because of the defensive frailties of that City side. I felt that if we could put pressure on them, which we were able to at times, and force mistakes, then chances would come. And that was the case here and there, but unfortunately it wasn't able to be done consistently. Against Spurs, however, I'm not sure that pressing them high up the pitch will have the same effect. The greater physicality that they have, especially in that midfield area, as you talked about, I think Moussa Dembélé is one of the most underrated players in the Premier League. He is absolutely fantastic.
Great player.
Yeah, his combination of sheer power and then a real finesse of touch makes him a brilliant all-round centre midfielder. I think the back three are really coming together, with Sanchez coming in at the heart of that. And you have two fairly pacey centre-halves in Alderweireld and in Vertonghen, who can deal with the balls into the wide channels that you face as a wide centre-half in a three. I think the only way Arsenal can win this game is if they sit extremely deep and counter their way to success, especially if Pochettino employs a three at the back. If you can catch the wing backs slightly too far up the pitch, maybe you can swing Alexis Sanchez down one of the channels, something like that, and nick a goal. Whether Wenger will be willing to be so defensive, especially at home, especially in the North London derby, that remains to be seen. But this is a game that I have very little confidence for whatsoever.
If Tottenham get a goal early, I have a feeling that the atmosphere inside the Emirates, it's usually very quiet. I have a feeling it will get very toxic in there very, very quickly.
Yes, I agree.
I'm talking about the 3-0 defeat to Crystal Palace kind of atmosphere, kind of, because even though we've argued all show that the sky isn't necessarily falling, it will feel in that moment that we are being put to the sword by our fiercest rivals, and they are really showing us that our time has come to an end, and that they are now the top dog in North London.
Yeah, and a 7-point gap, if we did lose, is a lot. It seems the Spurs are in relentless form at the moment, and I would struggle to see us overcoming a 7-point gap. Josh, what is your prediction? You said 2-1, am I right? Who starts up front?
If it's that like a zero, I'll lose my mind.
If he tries
to think himself into starting Alexis up front, and you know, I'm really scared that he's going to try to find a way to start Coughlin too. Which,
oh, please, no.
Harry Kane. I have all these hesitations, but if he does the starting 11 that he has to do, that we all know that he should do, then I do think that we can win 2-1. I think Lacazette will score.
And Giroud. You're backing him. What about you, Henry? What's your prediction?
You made a very good point. I actually thought we have had a higher chance of beating City, because I thought if we make it a game of basketball, we have a really good attack as well. I mean, I think Lacazette should start this one, but I have a feeling that this is going to be... either Spurs win this comfortably in 2-0, or I'm going to go with the best case scenario, we get a 1-1 draw, because we always seem to somehow get really scrappy goals against Spurs. I'm thinking of the Ramsey flick at White Hart Lane, but I can't see us keeping a clean sheet with Harry Kane being arguably the best striker in world football at the moment. And Heung-min Son playing as well as he is, Ben Davis and Kieran Trippier providing those chances from the flanks, and Eriksen being there, Dele Alli. Oh my goodness, I'm just listing so many players that they have. They have so many good players, and it's incredibly frustrating. But I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with a 1-1 draw. I can see us nicking a goal. I'm worried by the sheer weight of pressure of possession that will come on the Arsenal midfield and back three.
You mean on Granit Xhaka and the back
three? Well, yes, quite. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to touch on?
Yeah, I'd like to just quickly touch on the entire manager and the board situation really quickly.
Go ahead.
I am joking, obviously, because that needs an entire hour. That's on that entirely.
As a yes, no, and you only allowed one word.
Okay.
Would you sack Wenger either now or at the end of the season? You've got one word.
Can I find a question to ask the North London derby?
Right. So if it's a loss, then it's a yes.
No. End of season. I'm
going to
go end of season.
End of season. You would sack him. What about you, Josh?
No.
No.
Am I allowed to justify that?
Yeah, go on.
I just think he's got 1 year left after that. Just give the players one last chance. As if they need one more chance.
Yeah, been saying that for 5 years.
Yeah, this is true. But no, I don't think he's
sacked. I think... it's better for the club if he goes, but from a purely selfish point of view, I would take a Premier League title with Wenger over 5 Premier League titles with another manager. So purely from that reasoning, I want him to stay, and I will always want him to stay, just so he can win one league title, even if I never actually think that may happen.
I mean, even if he wins the Europa League, Arsenal haven't won a European competition since the 1990s, I'm not entirely sure, 1990s, we were banned in the Spurs in the 1980s because of the exit of Liverpool.
Yeah.
But if he does that win the Europa League, I mean, there was arguments that he resigned after the FA Cup win. I would be surprised if we win the Europa League that he doesn't decide, you know what, I'd call it a day.
Do you think he'd want one more crack at the Champions League if that was the case? We won the Super Cup in
94.
I don't want to discuss this because I mean I know we've been discussing hypothetical essentially all show, but that's a great team for this point, I think. Yeah, I mean I did see a truly incredible stat that Wenger is the only manager to reach the final of the UEFA Cup, the Champions League final, and the Cup Winners' Cup, and lose all three.
Well, I still remember crying on the stairs when we lost the Champions League final in 06.
Yeah, that was...
When I was a youngster.
That was a rough outing. Josh, have you got any more topics that you'd like to discuss before we close up?
No, I'm not going to piss the young guys anymore.
Have you not got any pearls of optimism for us?
No, I mean, the one thing of optimism I'll say is that you both say it, when you look at this team, there's so much talent there. So you have to believe that, they'll actually live up to that at some point. But maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. You have American optimism.
Yeah, we're too used to rain over here, so we're just pessimistic about everything. This has been the first Pain in the Arsenal podcast of the season. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Josh. You can find us at paininthearsenal.com or on Twitter, at Pain in the Arsenal, without the E in the the, at SipNator101, SIPPENATOR101, and at A_Dowdswell, A_DOWDESWELL. Thank you again, guys. We will meet after the North London Derby. Hopefully, we will be happy. You never know. You never, ever know. This has been the first Pain in the Arsenal podcast. Thank you very much, and have a good week.